NBC Radio News. The Senate Majority Leader calls for consultation, and the Ford administration girds for battle over energy and inflation. I'm David Rush. Senator Mansfield says confrontation is counterproductive, and he thinks the president should consult more with the congressional leadership on common problems. Mansfield says he does not think the people will stand for a dogfight between the executive and legislative branches. But in the wake of yesterday's vote by the House Ways and Means Committee to block higher oil import tariffs, senior White House officials say the president expects to play rough. NBC's John Cochran has more on the story from the White House.
The advisor said Mr. Ford wants to make the following points to the nation in coming weeks. The president believes yesterday's committee vote against him was old-time politics and is unworthy of the seriousness of current fuel shortages facing the country. The president also believes many taxpayers will side with him when they learn that congressional opposition to higher fuel tariffs is delaying action on tax cuts for them. And despite confident Democratic predictions to the contrary, Mr. Ford is said to believe that yesterday's close vote in committee indicates he may eventually win his fight with Congress over oil policy.
More news after this.
All right, today we're going to make applesauce.
Okay, keep your head back, Deidre. Throw the pen at me, the pen at Deidre. You pin them this way with the pins going out, okay?
Let's play some C's together and hear how they sound.
Are you going to give us the recipe to how to make it?
At the end, she gives you a pen.
Yeah, there's a book that has it.
I said I can't keep the space and stuff straight.
Yes, you can. Lisa, you've got 12 feet of water. Are you all right?
No.
People working with girls' clubs can make a difference. This is Carol Burnett asking you to help your local girls' club or write to Girls Clubs of America, Box 35, Grand Central Station, New York 10017, to help get one started. You can make a difference.
Want to be a physical education?
You know what you have to do?
Good luck.
All that science, all that forget.
Don't get me dumped.
President Ford's request for $520 million in Indochina aid has drawn sharp reaction from two Senate Democrats. Kennedy of Massachusetts said the request borders on fiscal irresponsibility, and he called for an end to all U.S. military aid to Indochina. Jackson of Washington is not quite as adamant, but he does have reservations.
I'm opposed to abandoning them, but and I don't think Washington wants to abandon them, but what is the price? Where does this thing end? How far do you go? I think these are the questions that the executive branch have not been able to answer, and they must answer.
Jackson also said Russia, not Congress, must take full blame for the collapse of the trade agreement between Washington and Moscow. Newspaper publisher Edgar Wolf Jr. and two other prominent Columbus, Ohio businessmen were killed today when their plane crashed into a radio tower on the campus of American University in Washington. The pilot and co-pilot also perished in the crash. Vivian Kellams has died in Los Angeles at age 78. She was the wealthy retired Connecticut industrialist who engaged in a running battle with the IRS because she felt the federal tax system discriminates against single people. You're listening to NBC News.
Hi, I'm James Caan with a message to all women. If you'd like to help your husband stay healthy longer, listen to this advice from your Heart Association. Serve improves low in saturated fats and cholesterol. If he's overweight, help him reduce. If he smokes cigarettes, try to get him to stop and have him see his doctor to check his blood pressure, among other things. Blood pressure, if it's high, can be controlled. By the way, these suggestions may add years to your life, too. And one more suggestion that's good for hearts everywhere. Give generously to the Heart Fund. Give so more will live.
The Egyptian government today announced Soviet Foreign Minister Gromyko will visit Cairo in about 10 days. Earlier this month, Egypt sharply criticized the postponement of a scheduled visit by Soviet leader Brezhnev. The OPEC nations will hold their first summit meeting within a month to prepare for talks with oil importing nations. Iran, meanwhile, says its oil output this month is nearly 11% below January 73. Iranian officials said the drop reflects falling demand by Western buyers. President Ford had his annual physical checkup today, and his doctor said Mr. Ford is in better shape than he was a year ago. The president has proclaimed Monday National MIA Awareness Day, marking the second anniversary of the Paris Accords. Next week, President Ford is to hold his first meeting with British Prime Minister Wilson. Wilson is due in Washington Wednesday. The Hour's lead story, Senate Majority Leader Mansfield calls on the Ford administration to adopt a policy of consultation, not confrontation with Congress. David Rush, NBC News.
interview Tucker and Monitor, the final weekend of Monitor, and we're doing the usual things, cleaning out our desks and file cabinets, plus having old friends in and replaying some of the highlights of the past. And Monitor has had no more devoted friend through the years than this great songwriter.
Well, this is Sammy Kahn in Beverly Hills with a lyric to an old, old song for an old, old friend, Monitor. Monitor first came around in 1955. It's been a long, long time. And it had a brand new sound, 'cause Monitor was live. It's been a long, long time. And every doubter soon became a true believer. So here's a bow to our then Prez, Pat Weaver. For 20 years, old Monitor has managed to survive. It's been a long, long time. And we had communicators like Dave Garraway. It's been a long, long time. Things to say, it's been a long, long time. And if you really want to speak of staying power, even way back then we had Ben Grauer. Men we think of with affection to this very day. It's been a long, long time. Nichols and May and Bob and Ray gave humor to the show. It's been a long, long time. And that Harry Golden with his southern Yiddish glow. It's been a long, long time. And when we needed raucous laughter for a filler, Monitor could count on Phyllis Diller. Marlena Dietrich's beauty hints were big on radio. It's been a long, long time. Then Steve White asked, could we write a 10th year birthday song? It's been a long, long time. So Sammy Kahn and James Van Heusen wrote the whole day long. It's been a long, long time. I can't believe that 20 years are now behind us. And it took four choruses to remind us. It's Auld Lang Syne for Monitor, so sing it loud and strong. It's been a long, long time.
It's really hard to find anything to say to Sammy Kahn after that. Just thanks a lot, Sammy. Maybe we should have asked him to write a song of thanks that we could sing to him. What a guy. Well, before we get maudlin, and we haven't even had a drink yet, let's bring back one of the great comedy teams that Sammy mentioned, Mike Nichols and Elaine May, and one of their great improvisations, the setting, a suburban house.
Honey, I'm home.
Oh, you're early.
Yeah, I got home. I caught the early train.
Good day at the office?
Nice day. Yes, we got a lot done.
Get a lot done?
It's murder in the city.
Traffic?
Yes, crazy traffic.
There's a lot of traffic.
How are the kids?
They're all right.
What'd you do today?
Oh, I shopped a lot. And I think they're both coming down with colds.
Oh, again?
Yes, and the laundry came back and there's starch in your shirt.
Not again.
Just sent them right back.
That's the only thing to do, honey, because they'll never learn unless you send them back.
Did you ask for the raise?
Yes, I did.
What happened?
He said he's going to talk to me about it again next week. He's got a special problem.
Still?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you have to be patient.
Don't push it, honey. It'll be all right.
I have a surprise for dinner.
What are we having?
First thing we're having is beef bouillon, and then we're having the actual beef.
Oh, wonderful. I remember you did that several months ago, and I enjoyed it.
Come on in and taste the bouillon.
All right.
You're not Harry. I'm terribly sorry. I must be in the wrong house.
Oh, Nicholson Man, one of their classic satires, a comment on how people tend to conform to their particular kind of lifestyle, sort of interchangeable parts in a machine. For years, they entertained America on NBC, and now both have gone on to great success in other fields, individually, as directors of plays and movies. They called to say goodbye, for which we thank them.
Have we got some good news?
Certificates worth 3,600 S&H Green stamps are yours free during the Frigidaire Stamp Act. You get them when you buy any of our 100% frost-proof 17-cubic-foot refrigerators, our Custom Deluxe heavy-duty washer, our Custom Deluxe or Imperial dryers, our best-selling range model RSE36, or one of our exclusive Frigidaire laundry centers between January 19th and February 9th. It's Frigidaire's way of giving you
something more for your money.
To get your certificates, mail us a copy of your sales slip and a coupon by midnight, February 15th, 1975. The Frigidaire Stamp Act from the Home Environment Division of General Motors. Offer void where prohibited.
Trembles in the cupboard like money in the bank. When it comes to saving, it's the Campbell's you can thank.
You bet. Campbell's Soup's a good, inexpensive way to help fill up the kids. They love to sit down to steaming bowls of Campbell's chicken with rice soup at lunchtime. Mm-mm, good. These days, I want lots of Campbell's Soup in my cupboard.
When it comes to saving, it's the Campbell's you can thank. Campbell's in the cupboard. Money in the bank.
You remember what year it was that Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge? You don't? Well, we'll have the answer for you in just a minute. Right here on the Monitor Beacon. Answering the question I asked a minute ago, it was 1967 that Bobby Gentry had Billy Joe jump off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
Was it 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day? I was out chopping cotton and my brother was baling hay. And at dinner time we stopped and walked back to the house to eat. Mama hollered at the back door, y'all remember to wipe your feet. And then she said, I got some news this morning from Choctaw Ridge. Today, Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. And Papa said to Mama as he passed around the black-eyed peas, Billy Joe never had a lick of sense. Pass the biscuits, please. There's 5 more acres in the lower 40 I got to plow. And Mama said it was a shame about Billy Joe anyhow. Seems like nothing ever comes to no good up on Choctaw Ridge. Now, Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. ride. I saw him at the sawmill yesterday on Choctaw Ridge. And now you tell me Billy Joe's jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Mama said to me, child, what happened to your appetite? He said he saw a girl that looked a lot like you up on Choctaw Ridge. And she and Billy Joe was throwing something off the Tallahatchie Bridge. A year has come and gone since we heard the news about Billy Joe. They married Becky Thompson. They bought a store in Tupelo. There was a virus going round. Papa caught it and he died last spring. And now Mama doesn't seem to want to do much of anything. Them into the muddy water off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
Yeah, that was 1967. Monitor Music played there. And along that time, Bobby Gentry and Billy Joe jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
Hey, what you got there? It looks like tomato juice.
V8.
What you got there? Looks like tomato juice.
It's V8.
Try it.
Wow.
It sure doesn't taste like tomato juice.
Mm-hmm. It tastes like V8.
Great taste, naturally low in calories. V8 cocktail vegetable juice. V8.
You know, there's never been a better time for V8. And you may be surprised to know that when you buy the big 46-ounce can, a 6-ounce serving only costs about a dime. Think about it. 6 ounces of V8 for as little as 10 cents. So when you measure the great natural taste of those 8 garden vegetables, the many ways you serve it, and those few calories against the cost, you're really getting your money's worth. Why not pick up some V8 today?
V8 cocktail vegetable juice. V8.
Oh, beef patties.
There's a sauce, there's a pickle. Oh, I don't know. There's all kinds of things.
You got McDonald's Big Mac.
To all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, on a sesame seed bun.
7 great ingredients working together to make one great taste.
To all beef patties,
special sauce,
pickles. Also is cheese.
Where does it belong?
In the middle.
On a nice sesame seed bun.
You deserve a break today at McDonald's.
Where your dollar gets a break. Every day.
Well, it's the last weekend of Monitor, forever, I guess. And you certainly couldn't let it pass without asking Frank Blair to come by and talk to us. He's kind enough to. And Frank's kind of sad, isn't it? There's no other way to look at it.
Well, you know, it is sad in more senses than one, because I think Monitor was just one of the greatest radio shows that was ever devised by our good friend and an imaginative chairman of the board of NBC, Pat Weaver. He came up with so many great ideas, and Monitor was just one of them. He thought radio should not be a static thing, that it should be on the move, and I think that was what was behind Monitor. And I had the privilege of being the first voice, communicator voice, heard on Monitor, because I was assigned to the Saturday morning 4-hour stint that started on, I think it was about June 12th.
Yeah.
And I was in here at, way before 8 o'clock in the morning, and I did the 8 to 12 shift on the thing. What started out as an experiment turned out to be an institution. Monitor was a real institution.
You worked with a lot of, you made a lot of good friends in the program, I guess.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
This is the first time I've ever met you. I must say it's a pleasure, but I listen so often. I've seen you so often, but it always sounded to me as if you and Frank Gallup got along very well.
Well, Frank is a wonderful guy to work with. Had a little experience down in Florida on vacation recently. This is beside the Monitor point, but I think our viewers... there I go again with the TV aspect.
You work both sides.
I think our listeners might get a kick out of it. I had lunch one day down there with Ernest Chappell, who's one of the greatest radio announcers in the business, most beautiful voice, still has it, and still is working on his own, but at his own pace, the way I hope to do. And Andre Baruch and Frank Gallup and Frank Blair. And I want to tell you, that's one day I'm glad I wore my high boots, because it was... it would have been a little difficult to walk out of that place. You've never heard so many lies in your life. But that was big. Oh, Gallup and I got along just beautifully. Frank Gallup is a very funny man and so easy to work with, such a real professional. I enjoyed working with Don Russell, too. We had the stint on Saturday morning there for quite a little while. And... That was a pleasure.
Well, did Hugh Downs come on right after you?
He took up at 12 when we'd go out. Then Hugh Downs would come in and he'd take over for 4 hours. We worked in 4-hour stints. And it's amazing how fast the time would fly, because we always had something to do and something interesting to do. Of course, you know, Dave Garraway was one of our communicators, too.
Could you drop by tomorrow? Maybe.
Oh, sure.
Around the building someplace.
Oh, I'll make it a point to.
That'll be our really last day. Talking with Frank Blair, of course. Everybody recognizes that voice. And, well, what can we say? This is the next to the last day of Monitor. And Frank's just, you heard him say, he's going to come by tomorrow. Talk about Monitor some more. Funny now. Back in 1968, Dustin Hoffman made it big in The Graduate, which features this hit song by Simon and Garfunkel about the lady... he made it big with.
Candidates debate. about it, shout about it, when you've got to choose. Every way you look at it, you lose. Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? A nation turns its lonely eyes to you. That you say, Mrs. Robinson, Shelton Joe has left and gone away.
Hey, 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 Mrs. Robinson, 1968, Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh, ho, ho, do you know the little blue jug named Dynamo? It goes a long, long way, it's true. Just see what a quarter cup can do.
Just a quarter cup of Dynamo liquid detergent cleans a whole wash and even works on tough, greasy stains.
No powder can make all these claims. It wash for wash, it costs the same.
For a whole wash with its greasy stains, the little blue jug works better than powders.
Oh, ho, ho, now you know the little blue jug is Dynamo.
King there in Corazon. Next half hour coming up, Ben Grauer, actor David Wayne, they were both hosts or communicators on Monitor, and a very funny fellow named Al Kelly will talk about old times and help brighten our present times. I'm John Bartholomew Tucker. This is Monitor, our last weekend on NBC.
NBC Update. This is David Rush with an update report on the news. Northern Ireland is awaiting word from the militant wing of the IRA about a ceasefire for the province. Announcement is expected Monday that an indefinite truce will be imposed. Iran says a drop in demand by Western buyers reduced its oil output in January by nearly 11% with a corresponding drop in oil revenues. Columbus, Ohio newspaper publisher Edgar Wolfe Jr. and four other persons were killed today when their twin-engine plane crashed in Washington. Vivian Kellams, the Connecticut woman who fought for years against the federal tax system, has died in Los Angeles at age 78. President Ford meets next week with British Prime Minister Wilson. It will be their first meeting. Top London sources expect the two leaders to be in accord on Middle East diplomacy and other matters of mutual interest. Senate Majority Leader Mansfield has urged the Ford administration to work in consultation rather than confrontation with the congressional leadership on such energy issues as energy and economics. Updating sports, Gene Littler has taken a four-stroke lead after three rounds of the Crosby Pro-Am. Johnny Miller is eight strokes back at 215. Jack Nicklaus is virtually out of it, 10 strokes off the pace. College basketball, top-ranked Indiana beat Purdue 104-71. Notre Dame defeated UCLA 84-78. North Carolina down Maryland 69-66. David Rush, NBC Update. We'll be right back.
Wait a minute, have a drink over here, buddy. My name's J.B. Tucker, and I'm with a show that's going off the air after 20 years, monitored. I want to talk about the old days. But there's this broad who wants to sing first, so go ahead, broad, sing.
Once upon a time, there was a tavern.
Just kidding. I'd never call any broad a broad. It's just not made that way. No, Mary Hopkins is the first one to laugh at that. Those were the days. Oh, they were. Yep. Here's something we could all use.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
The common cold is a rotten thing. You miss so much. Sneezing, drips, and congestion can drag you down. Then, ask yourself the contact question. 6 or 3 or 1? You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. That's daytime, then nighttime relief. Both the others have things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs. Not found in Contact 600 Tiny Time Pills.
Give your cold to Contact. The sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1. Take Contact. Only as directed.
Well, it's a big gala Monitor weekend here. Old friends of Monitor dropping by and people who were the spine of Monitor dropping by. My next guest, fine. I guess, would qualify for that.
Well, I don't feel like a skeleton.
No, you don't look like a skeleton either. But I mean, the mainstay, how's that? The guys are held it together.
All right, jib and main sheet. Okay.
Okay, a jib and
main
sheet.
What year was it that I was... When did I start on Monitor?
Monitor started in June of 55 and you came on in September.
September, yeah.
September.
Took me 3 months to tell them what a great mistake they were not having me.
That's pretty record time. They figured that out in 3 months. You had some first day.
Oh, but let's see. The lineup on Sunday afternoon was Frank Gallup and Ben Grauer. We were... What communicators was the word? Do you still use it? Are you a communicator, John?
We're called hosts now.
Are you hosts?
I like that.
So the co-communicators were Frank Gallup and Grauer. And I started the 2 o'clock thing with a 5-minute newscast at the top of the thing. And then there was a spot of some kind, I forget what. And Frank cut in and said, Ben, there's word from the newsroom that something important is happening in Argentina. And they shoved a brief at me of bulletins, and I made the announcement and switched to Argentina, to Buenos Aires, where the NBC man has revealing the first breaking news that Perón was being, not evacuated, being thrown out.
This was live, absolutely live.
Live, the then great leader of Argentina, 1955. And that was a true news break. We went back to Argentina, to Buenos Aires, 4 or 5 times that day, and another smashing news development broke out of Europe. I can't remember quite now what it was, because they had many there. So it was a big night.
And this, and I, as experienced as you are and were, it must have been a heck of a way to
show. You know what I thought? I thought this is a pretty smart show to get such nice things breaking for it. I really did. But Monitor was a delight, because it was fresh and new, and to a person like myself, let's see, that's 55. I already had 25 years of network experience. Yeah. Yeah. I was so indoctrinated and hardened into the idea of 15-minute or half-hour shows. As I was like, this will never change, you know. This is the establishment, and it will never change. And very shrewdly, NBC realized they got to make some new adaptation to the waning power of radio vis-a-vis television. So they evolved this magazine idea, which was Monitor. And I didn't understand it at first. How can a thing like that work? Well, it worked superbly, and I was glad to be part of it.
You and Frank Gallup worked better than... And there were a lot of people who worked well.
Well, so, I don't know. Do friends still remember Frank? He's working with Perry Como, I think.
Yeah.
For his suavity. Frank was the one who used to do the Cuesta Blanca show, did anything that had a sophistication or a French accent. Frank came from Boston. He was tall, lean, and very dignified. So the contrast between Frank's urbanity and suavity and my, I don't know, punchiness, I guess you'd call it, was good. I kidded him all the time. Once, I walked out of the studio for some moment, doesn't matter what, and I came back in, and Frank was sitting in front of the mic, and some music was playing, and I thought we were off the air.
Well,
I did it, John. I did it. I said, Frank, you... ... And he looked at me and his eyes bulged out 1/4 inch and came back. Luckily, he was on the air about to make the announcement, but he hadn't started it. But the music, you understand, the music covered what I said.
Thank the Lord. While we're thanking the Lord, may I ask you, would you come back tomorrow?
Tomorrow what?
Well, tomorrow's Sunday. It'll be our last
day. Oh,
sure.
Can we talk a little more about Monitor then and now?
Okay, thank you very much. Ben Grauer, of course, you all recognize the voice. One of the first communicators ever on Monitor, and he'll be back tomorrow, so don't be upset.
Yeah, who's upset? I'm not upset. No, I'm kidding.
So was Johnny Cash when he sang this big hit on Monitor back in 1969. Remember this one? A Boy Named Sue, Johnny Cash.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me. Just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. Seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I'll tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue. Well, I grew up quick and I grew up mean. My fist got hard, my wits got keen. Roamed from town to town to hide my shame. But I made me a vow to the moon and stars, I'd search the honky-tonks and bars and kill that man who gave me that awful name. Well, it was Gatlinburg in mid-July, and I'd just hit town and my throat was dry. I thought I'd stop and have myself a brew. At an old saloon on a street of mud, there at a table, dealing stud, sat a dirty, mangy dog that named me Sue. Well, I knew that snake was my own sweet dad from a worn-out picture that my mother'd had. And I knew that scar on his cheek and his evil eye. He was big and bent and gray and old, and I looked at him and my blood ran cold, and I said, my name is Sue. Well, I hit him hard right between the eyes, and he went down, but to my surprise, come up with a knife and cut off a piece of my ear. But I busted a chair right across his teeth, and we crashed through the wall and into the street, kicking and a-gouging in the mud and the blood and the beer. I tell you, I've fought tougher men, but I really can't remember when. He kicked like a mule and he bit like a crocodile. I heard him laugh and then I heard him cuss, and he went for his gun and I pulled mine first. He stood there looking at me and I saw him smile. He said, son, this world is rough, and if a man's gonna make it, he's gotta be tough. And I know I wouldn't be there to help you along. So I give you that name and I said goodbye. I knew you'd have to get tough or die. And it's that name that helped to make you strong. Now you just fought one hell of a fight, and I know you hate me and you got the right to kill me now, and I wouldn't blame you if you do. But you ought to thank me before I die for the gravel in your guts and the spit in your eye, cause I'm the that named you Sue. I got all choked up and I threw down my gun, called him a paw and he called me a son, and I come away with a different point of view. And I think about him now and then, every time I try and every time I win. And if I ever have a son, I think I'm gonna name him Bill or George, anything but Sue.
Yeah, boy, name's Sue. I'll be talking with a fellow named David, another of our former monitor hosts. Can you guess his last name? No, not Garraway. I talked to him a couple of hours ago. This David's an actor, kind of short, wonderful voice. You hear him on a lot of commercials. Well, think it over and stay tuned, and you'll know all about it in about 3 minutes. Right here on the last to the next to the last, I can't even say it, Monitor Beacon. Bartholomew Tucker, and from a more recent Monitor music list, we're bringing back this Neil Diamond sparkler, Cracklin' Rosie.
Cracklin' Rosie, get on board. We're gonna ride till there ain't no more gold. Taking it slow. Lord, don't you know? Have me a time with a four-man lady. Itching on a twilight train. Nothing here that I care to take or song. Maybe a song. Sing when I want. No need to say please to no man.
Play it now, my baby. Reckless moves make me smile.
some good old friends of Monitor. I've been dropping by all weekend. Men like Ben Grauer. We just talked to Ben Grauer a while back. And David Wayne is here on the phone. Where am I talking to you, David? Where are you?
Well, I'm in California right now. We're doing a pilot of the old Ellery Queen series. And I just happen to have some time off today.
Oh, gee, I'm glad you got through then. People are joshing here because you are one of the best loved of the communicators. Everybody here has a good word for you. And
nice. I wish the upstairs had felt the same way. I'd still have been on.
Yeah, well, that's what happens. But these are all kidding remarks they told me to ask you. They said, how about the time, remind David the time he couldn't read the type, we got a bigger typewriter for him. Is that true or are they just kidding me?
No, I think the writers needed to see their material better.
Must have been a lot of fun, though. I used to listen to you when you were on. Always enjoyed it, and just always sounds as if you were having a great time.
Well, we did have marvelous time because, you know, when they'd switch us off and they'd go to news and things like that, then we'd start bandying some of our brand of humor about it, and it was fun. Really fun. I enjoyed that program enormously.
Yeah, everyone still talks about it. You used to dance while some of the music was playing.
Well, I had to keep the old legs in shape. You sat there for an awful long time, as I remember. It was 3 hours, wasn't it?
Yeah. Any mistakes and goofs?
Yes, I lost my place one time, I remember, and I started rereading a page that I'd already read. We eventually got back on the track, but maybe the material was so important I felt it had to be read twice.
Yes, I'm sure you did. It was not a mistake.
My best to all my old buddies, and I'm sorry to hear that Monitor's coming to an end.
Yeah, well, they're all waving now. You can't see them, but they're all waving from the control room and saying thanks for giving us a call on a busy day like this. Thank you, David Wayne, for calling.
Bye-bye, and God bless all.
Bye, David.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin, plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And Sinoff doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sinoff Sinus Spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's Sinoff Sinus Spray. When sinus flares up, use Sinoff tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff.
Exactly.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
Hey, talk about appropriate commercials for the final weekend of a radio program such as ours, Sign Off. Maybe they should have sponsored the whole thing. But onward, or rather backward, we go for a few minutes with the Bard of Monitor, the man to whom Sir Laurence Olivier and Richard Burton owe so much for the clarity of their diction, the purity of their enunciation, the late, great Professor Albert Kelly.
From the great poems of yesteryear, I should now like to do for you the shooting of Sam McGrew. A bunch of the boys were whooping it up in the Malamute Saloon. The kid that handled the music box was hitting a jack time tune. Well, you know, he had no place, and the piano was a little bit rusty, he had a space. And back of the bar, in a solo game, sat dangerous Sam McGrew. Dangerous Dan, whom everybody knew to be a threat. And who do you think was watching him while he was playing, trying his luck? What luck? He was only playing by himself. Was the lady that's known as Lou. Lou went out of the night, which was 50 below, and into the din and the glare. It was very tight and very short. People didn't know whether it was 50 or 40. They didn't give a name. There stumbled a miner, fresh from the creek, dog dirty and loaded for bear. Well, he looked like a man with a foot in the grave and scarcely the strength of a louse. Yet he tilted a poke of dust on the bar. He put the bar right where the dust was because he had no face. And he called for drinks for the house. Who was there? I didn't know there were that many, but he came. Were you ever out in the grave alone when the moon was awful clear
and the icy mountain hemmed you in with a silence you most could hear. While high overhead, green, yellow, and red, the north light swept in bars, Daniel a hunch that the music meant hunger and night and the stars. But nobody danced because they had only a piano and they didn't leave the right floor with the street. That one of you, he said to them, and he listened, he said, you are a hound of hell, and that one of Dan McGrew. I ducked my head because it was getting the shooting when they were going all over, and the light went out, and two guns blazed in the dark, and the woman screamed, ah! And the light went up, and two men lay stiff and stark, pitched on his head. He was a pitcher. He pitched with his head. I thought that the case he met could use. And pumped full of lead was Dangerous Dan McGrew. And the man from the creek who was clutched by the feet was right near the lady that's known as Lou. Oh, that's Lou. And these are the facts of the case that I guess I ought to know. Because the one who was faced and had a toy had only a toy to face. And Pinchas Pope was the lady that's known as Lou.
You think you have trouble understanding Stevie Wonder when he sings Boogie and a Ragged Woman? That was the king of the double talk artists, Al Kelly. You know, we don't seem to have double talkers these days. Field of entertainment, that is. In our nation's capital, there's no shortage, of course. That's Virginia Graham, by the way, laughing in the background. Well, time to wrap up my final Saturday session on Monitor, and I'd like to exit big. No tears. Head held high. Flags flying like that. So, some exit music, please! Big Wilson and I will be back tomorrow for the final day of Monitor. In the meantime, we continue through this Saturday, the next to the last day of Monitor, with Exodus. Big will be around. My name is John Bartholomew Tucker. This is Monitor on NBC.